So my message this morning is going beyond where are we at, because I believe that's our question. But I believe God's answer to it is that he is inviting us into a great adventure. Many people have said, oh, wouldn't it have been wonderful to be alive in the book of Acts? The amazing things that were happening there. Or imagine being alive when Jesus was alive. Imagine travelling around as he moved throughout the land and to see the miracles, him feeding the 5,000, seeing him with blind Bartimaeus, Zacchaeus coming down out the tree. Wouldn't that be wonderful? You know, Jesus says in the Word that what we've got is even better. What we've got with the Holy Spirit in us, living constantly with us, is better than what the disciples had. I believe that we live in an amazing time in history. And God is inviting us into what he is doing. I don't believe it's a question of what we're meant to be doing. I believe it's a question of God, what are you doing? And when we see what he is doing for us to simply follow, I believe that we're meant to live a life of faith. And somebody mentioned it this morning, Diane mentioned it, when she came forward and we started to pray and started to say, God, we just give you our hearts. Because what are you going to give God? Your bright ideas? Your money? Your time? I mean, he's got eternity. What do we have to give to God? First of all, that we didn't receive in the first place. There's only one thing that we can give him. And that's our heart. And that's what he's looking for. He's looking for the hearts of his people. Diane, what she shared this morning was so powerful. The TikTok, I believe, is about the fact, are you aware of the time that you live in? Are you aware that time is actually short? You can say, oh, we've been talking about the end of the world for 2,000 years. Yes, but we're 2,000 years closer. And if he doesn't come back while we're alive, guess what? We go to him. So TikTok for a lot of us. The time is short. And if you've lived a few years on the planet, it's even more TikTok, TikTok. It's like, oh, that we would simply walk with him. That we would have that yielded heart. And I believe that it was really God's plan that we get that book, Live the Let Go Life. Because until we let go and let God, I don't believe that we're positioned to come into the greatest move of the Spirit of God that will be seen in this earth. But it starts with us yielding. It starts with us praying. It starts with us seeking him. And I believe that's what he is after. So I believe God's got us on the greatest adventure. And you know what? I didn't even know that it wasn't showing behind me. Aha. Oh, to simply follow. Last time, well, not last week, but the week before, I took us to the book of Isaiah, and it's interesting, Lynn had Isaiah as well with what she received in the prayer meeting. And well done to those who turned up to the prayer meeting this morning. Thank you. You're a digger of wells. You're opening up something in the realm of the Spirit that we moved in this service. So thank you. But I want to take us to Isaiah 6. It's where we were a couple of Sundays ago, and it starts in verse 1 and saying, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple." The prophetic art that we've got up here this morning is a depiction of this passage. So well done. I think it was Dalwin who brought... Wasn't Dalwin? Sandra, well done. It's great when you see the prophetic art up the front tying in exactly with what God is wanting to say in the message. So last time I talked about this guy called King Uzziah. And why is it important that it was in the year that King Uzziah died that Isaiah saw the Lord? Number one, it's all about transition. And when we're in a time of transition, we need to see God. We need to hear what God's saying. And I believe that's the time that we're in at the moment. But this guy, King Uzziah, you'll see his story there in 2 Chronicles 26, came king as a young man. God blessed him mightily. He had a huge army. He was at peace with all his enemies. He was an inventor. Agriculture flourished. Buildings flourished. He was a success. Until verse 16, which says, "And the heart of the king became lifted up to his destruction." And it goes on and it talks about him going into the temple. See, he was king. He was meant to be ruler over everything except for one thing, the priesthood. It wasn't enough for him that he had rule over the kingdom. He also wanted to rule over the priesthood. So he said, "I too can be a priest. I too can walk into the Lord's presence." And when he was confronted, he became angry. And immediately leprosy broke out on this man's forehead. He was thrown out of the temple. He was thrown out of his kingdom. Why? Because of his pride. And I believe if there's one thing that God is dealing with in the hearts of his people at this time, is our pride. It's our striving, it's our grasping, it's our desire to be above. God's saying, if you want to be great in my kingdom, you come in low. You come in as a servant. And I believe this is the hour when God is raising up servants. So let's come back to Isaiah. "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord." Let's be a people who can say, "I've seen the Lord." Let's be a people who know what it is to encounter him, to know what it is that's on his heart at this time in history that we're moving into. "Sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple." You've got this amazing picture of what God is like, and just the itty-bitty bit of his robe fills the temple. Just a tiny bit. God is so vast, so huge, we think that we're going to put him in a box. We think that we're going to control what he's like. No, he's God. He's unchanging. And just a little bit of him totally fills everything that we have. And it goes on and say, verse 2, "Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings, and with two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. These seraphim, their names means burning ones. They're angelic beings, hard for our minds to grasp because they have six wings. But I want you to notice the incredible contrast that is here. We have King Uzziah in his pride, in his frailty. Then we have these incredible angelic beings. And out of their six wings, only two are used for activity. They cover their feet. There's humility. They're in a posture of worship. We do well to come first to a place of humility and a posture of worship. Then we are positioned to move, but to not just move as us, but to move as God in us and through us. Because I believe that's what God's looking for. He's looking for a people he can move through. Verse 3, and one cried to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. I want to suggest to you that the first statement that they make, we can all understand. They catch a glimpse of God. And it's not like they're stuttering or they're lacking words. The fact that it says holy, holy, holy is bringing an emphasis. It's like it's underscored, it's bold, it's circled, it's highlighted. And I believe if there's one thing that we need to understand about God is that he's holy. Oh, he's loving, he's kind, he's good. But you encounter God, and you're going to encounter a holiness that will make you like Isaiah. So as you read on, Isaiah goes, oh, I'm undone. You have a full-on encounter with God. I mean, John, Apostle John, he knew what it was to lean upon the breast of Jesus. I mean, that's pretty intimate. I mean, we're talking guys here, and he's sitting back, leaning against Jesus. Totally comfortable. Revelation starts, and John turns, and he sees Jesus in his glory, and it says he fell at his feet as a dead man. I believe those sorts of encounters are coming to the body of Christ, where we don't just see God in his goodness, but we see him in his glory, because we're called to be a people of glory. We're meant to carry that glory. And until we understand the weight of that glory, we won't carry it well. So they're saying, holy, 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 like his holiness is taken to the highest degree. Because they see God, they see him as he is. That statement does not surprise me. But what they say next does. The whole earth is full of his glory. It's like, what? You're kidding me. The whole earth is full of his glory? See, we read over that. And we just move on. How come they're saying something that we don't see? It's because they see something that we don't see. And I believe it's time for us to lift our eyes. For far too many of us, our eyes are on the 6 o'clock bad news. For far too many of us, our eyes are on what the devil is doing, what's going wrong, rather than what's going right and what God's promises are and what his declarations are for the time that we live in. If we're going to be a people of glory, I believe that we need to be a people who know what it is to see into the heavenly realm. And I believe more and more it will be normal for us to see angelic beings, to see their activity. That is going to be normal because our eyes need to shift if we're going to carry the glory that God wants us to carry. The whole earth is full of his glory. Amazing statement. But let me take you to Numbers 14. If you're familiar with the Old Testament and the book of Numbers, you'll know that Numbers 14 is actually a very sad chapter. God took the Israelites out of Egypt. You have all the plagues. You have the sea parting. You have the Israelites going through on dry land. You have God leading the Israelites through the desert. There is this cloud over them during the day, so they don't have problems with the heat. There's a few of us who would have liked that over the last few days that we've been in, right? And at night time, because the desert is freezing cold at night, so at night time, that cloud became a pillar of fire. Can you imagine traveling, seeing that every day? And whenever Moses went out to the tabernacle of meeting, that cloud came down and it rested on the tabernacle of meeting. And everyone would go out and watch. Most of them were too scared to go close, except for Joshua. They lived seeing such amazing displays of the goodness and the power of God. God leads them through the wilderness and they travel. He takes them to the edge of the promised land. The spies go in and they bring back the fruit of the promised land. And God's saying, this is the land I've given you. It's yours. Numbers 14 records how they say, we can't. It's too hard. There's giants in the land. We're not big enough. We're not strong enough. We can't do this. This is too hard for us. And they complain against the Lord. Oh, that we were back in Egypt. Oh, it was easy back there in Egypt. You know, it might have been easier back before you got saved. For some people it is. You don't have to think about anything when you're in bondage. You just live in bondage. But God's got something better for us than bondage. That was a good place to say amen. But when you come out of bondage, you have to be able to fight the giants. You have to be able to take the promises of God and said, God, you said, and your promise is greater than any giant that's living in that land. But the Israelites said, we can't, we won't. Now the Lord eventually says to them, you will have what you say. That's a good warning for all of us. Because they said, we will perish in this wilderness. And God said, that's what you've said, that's what you will live out. And he's about to declare over them, you will wander for 40 years in this wilderness till you're all dead. Hardly an encouraging word to receive, right? He's just about to make that statement. But there is a statement that he makes beforehand that almost seems out of context. And it's like, Lord, why did you say that? So let's have a look at the statement that he made. Numbers 14, verse 21. But truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. But as truly as I live, all the earth will be filled with the glory of the Lord. And I believe what the Lord is saying, if you don't want to be the people, I will find a people who will be. But my plan will stand. See, God gives us a choice. We have to choose whether we will rise up and go on the adventure that he has for us. Or will we say, oh, that's too hard. I couldn't do that. That might not be comfortable. You mean you want me to get up and pray in the morning? I'd rather lie in bed and get a coffee and donut. God gives us what we want, unfortunately. So the question is, what do we want? Do we want to be the people that will say, God, I'm going to follow hard after you. God, here's my life, and I'm coming. See, Jesus simply said, follow me, and he keeps walking. And I can imagine Peter and John holding their nets, looking at each other, looking at Jesus, walking down the beach going, do we hold this or do we go after that? And I believe for many people that's where you're at. You're holding what you've got in your hand and God's saying, I need you to let it go because I'm calling you to follow. And it's your choice. It's our choice. Will we be the people who will walk in the glory that he wants to reveal? See, we see the same thing in Esther. Oh, we love the story of Esther. Well, most young girls love the story of Esther, to the reality that we won't go there. Let's just pick up. Esther 4, verse 14. If you remain silent, deliverance will come through another. But who knows if you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this? If you don't choose it, God will use somebody else. But who knows? Just maybe God wants to use you. In fact, I know it's more than a maybe. I know God wants to use his people. But we're the ones that have to choose to follow. We're the ones that have to say, God, I'm going after you with all I've got, with all I am. Let's finish with Jeremiah. Jeremiah 1 verse 5. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you. Let's just put a dot, dot, dot. Do you know what God's called you to? Do you know what he has for you? I believe now is the time when people need to start pushing into God and saying, haven't got a clue who I am, what I am, but this one thing I know, I'm going after you, God. And in the process, I'll find out who you made me to be. In fact, I said that was my last scripture, but it's not. We're going to throw in this one as well. Ephesians 2. For we are his workmanship. I don't believe there's any person that's going to get to heaven and go, didn't I do well? I'm here. And I did this, and I did this, and I did this. Aren't you so proud of me? I believe all of us will be like it describes in the book, where the crown that Jesus gives us, we will cast at his feet and say, I don't deserve to wear this thing because you did it, not me. because you made me everything that you purposed for me to be. We are his workmanship. Actually, the word for that is poema. We are his poem, his creative expression. You're an awesome poem. Didn't you love how Diane's revelation this morning just all rhymed? It's like, that was just gorgeous. Created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Folks, you're not looking for your purpose. Your purpose is waiting for you. Because God made you for something. It's time to run after him. It's time to find out why we're here, what we're here for. The greatest adventure is before us. Will we jump into the midst of what God's doing? Will we say, me too? Because Jesus said, whosoever will. He didn't put any qualification on it. No race, no gender, no age. He just said, whoever, if you want to come, come. It's up to us. Will we decide to go? Let's pray. Jesus, you're so good. I thank you that life with you is one huge, wonderful adventure. Lord, it's hardly a dull moment following you. And I pray that you'll speak to hearts this morning, because I know that you're inviting them into a wonderful adventure to move with you, to live for you, to see what you can do through us. Lord, your word declares that as you are, so are we in this world. Lord, all of us feel so far short of that. But you've declared that we are your work. You're the master craftsman, and you're going to make us look just like you. And we thank you for that. Amen.